Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
I'm Meg Scher, the Executive Director of the David M. Hunt Library, and I'm here with Leslie Battis, the Assistant Director of the Norfolk Library. Today we're going to start off talking about books that inspire the imagination. And I know Leslie and I both kind of struggled with what we were going to talk about today. So I just wanted to start off by, I've been giving this a lot of thought. And of course, first my mind went to children's books, and I do have a couple of children's books to share. But then I really started thinking that the purpose of books is to inspire the imagination, right? So it's not just books for kids, it's books for grown-ups, and that really putting yourself in someone else's shoes by reading a book who is not, you know, who has a different reality in all kinds of different ways from the one you're living, inspires your imagination, right? It inspires you to think about how other people are feeling. It inspires empathy and sympathy and all kinds of things and curiosity. So I have some adult books to talk about too, because I know that a lot of the books I read inspire my imagination all the time, and that's what I love about reading.
Well said. I think the same thing. I think almost all books inspire the imagination in one way or another.
Yeah, so in some ways this topic, which definitely gave us some pause, really is an incredible gateway to talking about any book you want to. But I do want to start off with a couple of children's books. So I have an 8-year-old and 11-year-old, and I'm always interested in what they're reading. And one of the things that I've been seeing that the demand for early reading chapter books has really increased. Mm-hmm. And I love when they're series, because then kids get hooked and they want to read all 20 books. And I've been seeing that authors are doing a great job of putting color pictures in these early reading chapter books so that, you know, while kids are maybe struggling with the words, there's some pictures that illuminate for them what the author is trying to share and keep them engaged in a different way. So my favorite early reader chapter book series is called Princess in Black by Shannon Hale. And it's this wonder. I mean, the pictures are wonderful. The characters are wonderful. The main character is a girl who's a princess, and she wears, you know, your like stereotypical pink dresses and whatever. But then she becomes a ninja, and that's what I love about it. So she sheds her frilly princess gear, and she battles these angry goats in lots of different storylines. But I love that she encompasses these two personalities, right? And my 8-year-old, who read them when he was 6, is a boy. He totally delighted in them. They really appeal to all kinds of different kids. And I love that about it. I love that she kind of turned the assumption of what a princess is on its head.
And I love that really, also. Yeah.
Right? And made it really accessible for kids. And the other kids' book I wanted to talk about, so my elder child is going into 7th grade, and his assignment over the summer was to read a memoir. So, of course, I came home with a whole stack of memoirs. And the one that he chose was the young reader's version of Born a Crime by Trevor Noah.
And, oh, my word.
Yeah, and it really hooked him. And he's a tough kid to get into a book. And so I was really delighted. And I, you know, could there be a more different reality for a kid growing up in Falls Village, Connecticut, than reading about a biracial kid growing up in apartheid South Africa? And we talked a lot about it, and it really shifted the way he thought about the world. This was probably his first engagement with that period of history, and it really inspired his imagination in a different way.
That's fabulous.
Yeah. What books do you want to chat about, Leslie?
Well, I also was thinking of series for the same reason that you did, which is that once you get them a child hooked in a series, they will keep reading that series. And the challenge sometimes is staying ahead of these readers.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they go through the books and they're like, well, what's next? What's next?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And we just did a big sweep through to see what we were lacking and what we could bring in. And the four, I would say, series that are the most popular right now are Dog Man by Dave Pilkey?
I don't know. That's a good question. I've always said Dave Pilkey, but
yeah,
you're right.
Me too.
Yeah.
Those are incredibly popular.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Masters by Tracy West. And then Dragon Girls by Maddie Mara.
Oh, I don't know that one.
That's a good one. That's
nice.
A good one. And then Narwhal and Jelly by Ben Clanton. I love that series.
I like that one, too.
But I think that For my experience with reading with my daughter when she was younger, is that I really loved Sandra Boynton and her books. And the first book that I think I finally understood that my daughter understood what a book is, she was really little, and we were reading The Barnyard Dance. And we'd read to her since she was very little, and so I would read the page, and she reached over and turned the page.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, my God, she understands that, you know, I'm not just talking. Like, there is something about this that
right.
is on this page, and we have to get to the next one for the next part of the story. And so I think that's one reason why Sandra Boynton has a special place in my heart. The other is Richard Scarry, just a classic.
Yes.
Like Cars and Trucks and Looking for Lowly Worm and all of that. And I like that those books also, I think, inspire the imagination because they have so much in them. And you can wonder why the ice cream person is, you know, driving along with the rear end of the truck open or, you know, whatever, things like that.
Right.
And then my last one would be Elephant and Piggy.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the simplicity of it, as you said, and also because it has the, you know, simple words so an early reader can work with that, but it also has some nice illustrations with it.
And they're just such sweet friends, Piggy and Gerald, you know?
Yeah.
I love that.
And then the book I'm going to talk about that I read, I would say, was definitely one to inspire the imagination. So we'll get to that in a moment.
Great. Leslie, what are readers in Norfolk requesting this week?
It's Contrapposto by Dave Eggers.
Mm-hmm. People have been liking that one here, too.
And then for circulations, we had a book display in July about books about the 17th and 18th century in America.
Uh-huh, us too.
And one of the ones that circulated the most from that group was Caleb's Crossing.
Oh.
By Geraldine Brooks. Yeah, so that was really interesting to see people pick that one up over and over again. And for nonfiction, it's An Inconvenient Widow by Louise Romano. And that's about Mary Todd Lincoln after the assassination of her husband.
Right, great.
A very kind of poignant and very interesting. How about your library?
Whistler. We have two copies of Whistler by Ann Patchett, and I can't keep them in the doors.
Yes.
The line just keeps growing. Also, we just accessioned today Daniel Silva's new book, Ransom, which already has a list.
Yep.
And for nonfiction, Regime Change by Maggie Haberman.
People yes, we just got that before. In, and that just went out, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Leslie, I can't wait to know what you've been reading.
Oh, yes. So, for our book group that I lead, which is the First Monday Book Group, the group picked Passage by Connie Willis, and Connie Willis writes science fiction.
Oh.
I don't read a lot of science fiction.
Yeah.
But this is good. This is why we have book groups, because we expand our horizons and everything.
Absolutely.
And so this definitely inspires the imagination. You have to be willing to suspend that disbelief when you're reading it.
Mm-hmm.
It's about two doctors. One is Dr. Joanna Lander, and she's a psychologist at Mercy General, and she specializes in near-death experiences. And she interviews patients at the hospital after they've been revived so that she can study these near-death experiences. And she's invited to work with Dr. Richard Wright on his project that chemically induces NDEs, they call them, near-death experiences, in order to study the subject's brain scans during this. The subjects don't die. They just have the experience.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
And, yes. So their theory is that the NDEs are maybe a survival mechanism, and that understanding them may help to revive people who have coded, you know, have died and then been brought back.
Right.
So there's a lot of science involved with it, but it was the really good characters and a lot of trivia about disasters, because there is a child who copes with her terminal illness by reading about disasters, and she's coded a number of times. So I learned all about the Hartford Circus Fire and the Hindenburg.
Oh, interesting.
And that's interspersed with all this other stuff. And then Joanna starts participating by taking the drug herself and having the NDEs. And she goes to the same place every time, which I won't tell you what it is. And this slow buildup, like of every time she goes in and she realizes a little bit more and a little bit more until she realizes where she is, just keeps you reading. The pace is slow, but the action is fast, if that makes any sense at all. And the book has this major twist about three quarters of the way through, and so I won't say any more than that.
Isn't it fun when you get to read things that you don't expect for book club and you enjoy them? I love that.
Yes, very much. How about you?
So I just finished Alan Opts Out by Courtney Mum, who lives in Norfolk, and I enjoyed it so much. It was, I got away for 24 hours from my birthday. It was the perfect poolside read. So the book follows Alan, who, you know, they live in this gated, basically he's a very wealthy ad executive. He writes marketing campaigns, and, you know, they live in this gated community in Greenwich, and it's perfect, and everybody's, and it's so perfect, you know, from the first moment I picked it up, I was laughing, right? You have to apply to have a 4th of July lawn display, and you can have this, but you can't have that, and the daughter can't go to theater camp because it's not prestigious enough. She has to go to horse camp, even though she hates horses, and the wife has changed her name from Valerie to Vivian because Valerie is low class, and Vivian is, you know, so it's very satirical. I really enjoyed it. And about maybe a third or halfway through, Alan has this awakening, and he moves into the playhouse in the back of the property, which is modeled after the Real House, and he starts living there, and he won't wash his clothes or come in the house, and he has a lobster as a pet that he won't eat, and it's just this wonderful take on what we really need to be happy, what makes us happy, how people, you know, how important is what other people think, how do we rebuild our relationships, how do people change over time, and I just enjoyed all of it.
I did also. I thought it was well done.
Yeah. And it was, you know, it wrestled with big questions in a kind of funny, relatable way.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to see, and there was a twist in that I didn't see coming either.
Me right? either. Yes.
It was a delightful surprise. I couldn't believe it.
I thought it was great. Really well done on that one.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed that. And then I have a couple of audiobook suggestions. I just listened to You with the Sad Eyes, which is Christina Applegate's mm-hmm. memoir, which was, she reads it. She has a great voice. It's wonderful to hear her story in her own words. And I had no idea that she had been through so much in her life, even before the MS diagnosis and what her childhood was like growing up in L.A. and being a child actor. And I thought that I just really enjoyed hearing it in her own voice. I thought she was very relatable. You watch her struggle through different relationships and kind of learn her own self-worth towards the end. And, you know, I thought it was great. And she does a podcast with Jamie Lynn Siegler, which I would like to listen to, about living with MS. Mm-hmm. And I have a close relative who has MS, and so I'm going to listen to that because I'm really interested to hear how she deals with this disease. And she's something I appreciated was that she's very honest, you know, so she was advocating against saying, I'm good or I'm being brave, but instead being honest about how hard things are.
Yes.
And I really loved that. And right after that, I needed something a little lighter. So I'm listening to All Creatures Great and Small by James Herriot.
Oh.
And I'm not really an animal person, but I'm enjoying this so much. And the audiobook has some beautiful music in between the little stories, and the reader has a beautiful British accent. And I'm just enjoying all of it. So I highly recommend that.
I never thought of listening to that book. That's a great idea.
Yeah, you know, I needed something that was available. Sometimes, kind of like book club, I end up with things that I don't expect to enjoy. And this one is 16 hours long, and I thought to myself, I'll make it through the first third. But I'm two-thirds of the way through, and I'm looking forward to washing the dishes later so I can listen to it some more, which I never thought I would say.
Right. Very good.
Leslie, tell me about all the wonderful things you have coming up at the library.
Well, August is a quieter month for us at the library. We sort of take a bit of a pause and a deep breath after the summer reading finishes. and before the mayhem of September starts back up again. But we do have an artist talk in on August 9th, Sunday, August 9th. Our artist is Jana Lee Cherneski, and her artwork is so interesting. It's underwater plant portraits from Doolittle Lake.
Cool.
They're very, I don't know, ethereal and soothing, and it's really neat. So I'm curious to hear about how she takes the photos when we have the author talk. And then we have the Morris dancers visiting. I don't know if you've ever seen them, Meg, when they come by.
Yeah, they used to come to Falls Village. How wonderful.
Yep. So they have Morris dancers and musicians, and they come together like once a year as a group, and then they travel.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll be here in our parking lot on Monday, August 10th at 2:30. And they have set pieces that they do. It's not like they have a collar, but they do set pieces, and they have handkerchiefs and sticks and bells on their shins, and it's been around since the 15th century and very interesting if you have a chance to stop by.
Yeah, it is a fascinating thing to watch.
And then our big event is our book sale, our annual book sale. It's the last weekend in August. The proceeds benefit the Norfolk Library Associates and the many, many free programs they fund at the library. So we have apparently over 25,000 books.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're all sorted into 30 categories, which the sorting is happening now. And we also have about 500 rare and vintage books, according to Trish Deans, who sorts those for us. The dates is Saturday, August 29th from 10:30 to 5, and Sunday, August 30th from 10:30 to 9. And one of the common questions we get asked is, what happens to the books that don't sell?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that a box truck arrives from Big Hearted Books and takes all of the unsold books and distributes them to charitable organizations. They go to Africa, they go to prisons, they go to underserved communities and libraries. So none of the books are recycled, thrown away, or pulped, which
amazing.
Is amazing. Exactly, yes. So what about you? What fun things do you have going on?
And on Saturday, August 8th, we're celebrating Robert Cronin, who's a Falls Village artist who's lived here for a long time. He's going to have an exhibit of new paintings celebrating his 90th birthday.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
Yes, it is amazing that we get to celebrate. It is amazing that he is 90. And so I'm really looking forward to that. So that's Saturday, August 8th from 5 to 7 p.m. And then Robert will have an artist talk also where he's going to show a slideshow going through his life's work, which I'm really looking forward to, and that is Thursday, August 13th at 5:30 p.m. We have a couple of other programs happening during August. It's also a quieter month here, and we're doing an intro to astrology program, exploring your birth chart.
Ooh.
We've done a tarot program a couple of months ago, and people are really into it. So this woman, Sonia Reeve, who's lovely, do another one. So that's August 20th at 5:30. And if you want a personal birth chart reading, you can go onto our website, and underneath the listing for the event is the link where you can put in your birth date and your birth date, your birth time, and where you were born, and Sonia will come prepared with a reading for you, which is pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, and so our final, we also have our biggest fundraiser in August. It's August Fest in the Village. It's August 23rd from 4 to 6. We gather on the library lawn. We have live music with Vance Cannon and friends. We have beer and brats and a wonderful silent auction. We have a coach purse and a scenic airplane ride through the Berkshires and a New York City weekend in a New York City apartment and a handmade guitar. We have some really wonderful things to offer. And it's a really fun, casual evening to get together with your neighbors and have a good time. So you can buy tickets at the library, or you can buy tickets online, or you can buy tickets at the door. And we hope that people will join us.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Leslie. As always, it is wonderful chatting with you.
Yes. Thanks, Meg.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.